Welcome to the Fastest 5 Minutes presented by Kroll and Mooring. I'm your host this week, David Robbins, bringing you a bi-weekly summary of significant government contracts legal and regulatory developments that no government contracts lawyer or executive should be without. We lead off in Rod Rosenstein news. Now, come on, this is a government contracts podcast, so not that version of Rod Rosenstein news, but on May 9th, the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, delivered remarks announcing a new Department of Justice policy and the formation of a new working group on corporate enforcement and accountability. The new DOJ policy encourages coordination within the DOJ and with other agencies to limit the piling on of monetary fines by enforcement agencies investigating the same misconduct. The policy will be incorporated into the U.S. Attorney's Manual and has 4 key elements that add structure and force to existing practice. First, the policy reiterates the long-standing prohibition on leveraging the federal government's criminal enforcement authority for purposes unrelated to the investigation and prosecution of a possible crime. Second, it directs attorneys working for different DOJ components to coordinate with one another on matters involving the same corporate misconduct, including crediting and apportionment of financial penalties and forfeitures in order to avoid disproportionate punishment. Third, the policy encourages DOJ attorneys to coordinate with other U.S. and foreign enforcement authorities, an already routine practice for the Criminal Division's Fraud Section and many U.S. attorneys' offices, to resolve cases with a company for the same misconduct. And fourth, the policy lists multiple factors, including the egregiousness of the wrongdoing, adequacy of disclosure, and cooperation with DOJ that DOJ attorneys should consider in evaluating whether the imposition of multiple penalties truly serves the interests of justice. Now, this is interesting, to me at least, right? So we've had 2 or 3 iterations of the parallel proceedings memo. Attorney General Reno did it several years back, came back again in 2012 or so. We've always had DOJ reminding the litigating components to work together, but this is the first time that they're suggesting and throttle back the overall punishment. Now, remains to be seen how this shakes out in practice, but it is a unique development and one that certainly I, in my procurement fraud-related practice, will be watching very closely. All right, moving on from that to IDIQ contract news. On May 10th, the GAO released a report evaluating the use of indefinite delivery contracts by the Department of Defense. The GAO evaluated the policies and guidance DOD used regarding these contracts, identified the characteristics of DOD IDIQ contracts for fiscals 2015 to 17, and analyzed the extent to which selected DOD indefinite delivery contracts may have limited future opportunities for competition. GAO found that roughly 40% of DOD contract obligations in those years, fiscal 15 through 17, were for IDIQ contracts. Furthermore, while there were 3 types of ID contracts, definite quantity contracts, requirements contracts, and indefinite quantity contracts, DOD obligated more than 80% each year on the indefinite delivery, indefinite quantity contract type. Despite the general preference under the Federal Acquisition Regulation for making multiple awards of IDIQ contracts, GAO found that the DOD obligated about 2/3 of its IDIQ contract obligations on single award IDIQ contracts. In order to identify the extent to which selected DOD contracts may have limited future opportunities for competition, the GAO selected a non-generalizable set of 9 of the largest DOD multiple award IDIQ contracts for review and analyzed those contracts' ordering procedures. GAO found that some of the ordering provisions have the potential to reduce the number of contractors eligible to compete for the orders, though these provisions generally served some other goal, such as increasing federal contracting opportunities for small business. Okay, what does this all mean? It means what we all know to be true. On large IDIQ contracts that span the scope of an entire scope of work within the DOD, contractors need to be on those vehicles, right? They need to be included, they need to get the work, and if they don't in their particular line of work, they need to consider strategic acquisitions and or divestitures because this becomes the lifeblood. And this becomes the lifeblood of what they do. GAO did not find anything that is likely to shake up the award of IDIQ or ID contracts generally anytime soon. But it's interesting to see this report in all its depth, and for those interested, we commend it to you for your reading. In case law news, the GAO publicly released a decision late last month in Alliant Corp. LLC, And the decision was this. They denied a protest alleging that actions taken by the Department of the Navy following its prior protest of the award of a task order to a company called DKW Communications violated the Procurement Integrity Act. The task order sought software maintenance services for naval pilot training simulation systems. The Navy initially awarded to DKW, Alliant protested, prompting the Navy to take corrective action to clarify the solicitation. Now, this protest round arises out of Alliant's allegation that DKW improperly received Alliant's bid and proposal information in violation of the Procurement Integrity Act. When the Navy announced its initial award to DKW, the Navy also forwarded a DKW email soliciting employment applications to personnel working on Alliant's proposed subcontractor's incumbent contract. Alliant argued that the Navy's email encouraging incumbent employees to apply for positions resulted in virtually all incumbent personnel who worked for Alliant's proposed subcontractor to divulge their salary information to DKW. Alliant asserted that its initial cost advantage over DKW would be eroded in corrective action if DKW revised its price on the basis of the self-disclosed incumbent personnel salaries. Now, interestingly, GAO dismissed Alliant's protest, finding that the PIA's prohibition applies to federal government officials or those acting on behalf of federal government officials with respect to a federal agency procurement. The prohibition against disclosing bid or proposal information does not prevent incumbent employees from providing their own salary information to DKW. It's an interesting ruling and probably the right reading of the Procurement Integrity Act, but I gotta tell you, as a former agency, Office of General Counsel lawyer, it sort of makes my skin crawl a bit that a federal agency is forwarding along a request for employment information to facilitate the transfer of employees. I get that service contract employees get to stay with the contract. I get that we have FAR provisions like that, but that seems to be a step too far for the federal agency. Well, that closes out this edition of the Fastest 5 Minutes. We'll see you again in 2 weeks. In the meantime, if you need anything, I can be reached at 202-624-2627.
The Fastest 5 Minutes podcast is brought to you by Kroll & Mooring LLP. Subscribe on iTunes, and if you enjoy our show, please leave us a review. You can find more information at kroll.com/govconpodcast.